Ram Youssef is the master bomber. This is the World Trade Center 1 mastermind. He flees the country, you know, with Yassin. Yassin goes to Iraq, and Youssef keeps traveling. In November 1994, Youssef goes to Cebu City, which is a radical Islamic stronghold in the Philippines.
Sure.
That same month, another figure shows up in Cebu City. That figure is carrying a book. It's, if I can find the name of it here, it's called the fascinating book, The Chemistry of Powder and Explosive. That's the book he took with him. Before he left, this person left his ex-wife an envelope with $20,000 in it that said, don't open this unless I don't come back.
Right.
This is November 94. That person's name is Terry Nichols.
Yeah, this is a very interesting thing. Peter Lance talked about this a little bit, too, and I'm not at all dismissing what you're saying. I hope it just verifies what you're saying, because I think that's really compelling. Here's little Cebu City, and look at the nexus of people that are coming through that that end up being tied then to Oklahoma City and then to Flight 800.
Right, because, in fact, after Lance's book came out, Dana Rohrabacher, a congressman from California, finished his report. This came out in December of 96. Which delved into this in great detail and added detail that Lance did not yet have. Although Lance did great research on this, by the way, great on-the-ground research. He verified all the information I'm going to tell you. But as Rohrabacher did the same, what we know is that in December, Youssef goes to Manila, where he is joined by another Baluchi, a guy named Murad, who's a pilot, Abdul Hakim Murad, and Khalid Sheikh Mohammed is there, too. They have an apartment in Manila where they're mixing chemicals for a plan that's at least the most public part of the plan we call Bojinka, which was Youssef's plan to blow up a dozen airliners more or less simultaneously over the Pacific. He'd already blown up a Filipino airline. I mean, he knew he could do it. He had test run it, and he decided that he had to make his charge a little bigger, put it over the center fuel tank, but he killed one Japanese passenger, almost brought down the whole plane. So they're there now in December 1994. They're into January of 1995. And January 6th of 1995, a fire breaks out in their apartment where they're mixing chemicals. And, the landlady calls police, firemen. They come. You know, Youssef tries to scare them off, but they're not to be scared off. Youssef takes off. Murad takes off. And then Youssef realizes he left his laptop back in the apartment. So, no fool, he sends Murad back to get it. And the police apprehend Murad and the laptop with all the plans on it, right? That same day, this is January 6, 1995, as the Rohrabacher report makes clear, inexplicably, which was their word, Terry Nichols decides it's time to get out of the Philippines.
Yeah.
And he hastily changes his plans and comes back to America.
On an unrelated story.
Yeah, right. It had nothing to do with it.
Right.
And as both Rohrabacher and even Richard Clark, the Clinton anti-terror czar, says, you know, Terry Nichols went to the Philippines not knowing a thing about making bombs, and he came back with a whole lot of talent.
So what we know is then that this plan about bringing down planes, that later on, which we would recognize perhaps as being the blueprint for the 9/11 attacks, is also then, as Peter Lance and you are pointing out, a connection to this Flight 800. So so bring us forward a little bit then from Cebu City
today.
Here's
the fascinating part. The part that people talk about is the Bojinka part, but that is the blowing up of the plane. But there was a second part. And this was only briefly hinted at in the formal plan, and that was they talked about, and this was part of the laptop that was seized. They had plans to take a small charter jet, fill it with explosives, and to fly it into the CIA building. However, when Murad was captured, the Filipino police started interrogating. And they don't play by Marcus Kingsbury rules over there. You know, so Murad is, at first, he's resisting. He's not talking. And then the Filipino police, they did something fairly clever. They took two of their guys who could pass. They dressed them up as Mossad agents and sent them in to talk to Murad. And said, okay, Murad, we're taking you back to Israel. And Murad said, what do you want to know? Since Mossad doesn't play ball, doesn't play softball either.
Right.
Then Mossad spilled his guts about the plane's plot. Basically, Murad was a pilot. At that time, now this is in 94, 95, He was in charge of training his fellow conspirators, sending the flight schools in America, because Murat learned in America also, how to fly airplanes. And he told them in January of 1995, he told the authorities in January 95 that they were planning on hijacking American planes and using them as bombs. They were planning on using charter jets, filling them with explosives, and using them as bombs and attacking American targets. This is in January of 95. This is beyond dispute. In other words, we knew about these plans 6 years before September 11th.